Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. What's happening to the cows? Today on Advanced. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Garrett, and it's great to have you with us to continue our article that we started yesterday. This is January's food lesson, and I'm glad to be joined again by Rebecca.
It's great to be back, Garrett, and we are talking about something we both love, and that is the topic of butter.
Right, butter. We learned yesterday that butter is in a crisis. Prices are spiking, and that's affecting not only dairy processors, but also people who sell things with a lot of butter in them, like French bakeries. Well, that might mean that the kinds of things that people are eating will be changing. And that's what I want to talk about as we start our lesson today. Are there any things that you used to eat, but you don't feel are quite as accessible now? Maybe you need to choose alternatives, or you've changed the way that you eat.
It's actually a really good question, Garrett. And the one that came to my mind, because it's quite recent, is actually green onion pancakes.
Okay.
Because we have a lot of that here. Like locally, we used to have green onion pancakes in a lot of places. But, you know, in the past while, the price of green onions went up. I mean, there was some reasons for it. I mean, sometimes it's the weather, like something
right.
Like just supply and demand. And the price of green onions really went up. So now the green onion pancakes that are available have a lot less green onions.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then there's also some stores that used to sell frozen green onion pancakes, like one in particular I used to go all the time to buy. That store has stopped selling green onion pancakes when the price of green onions went up. They're like, we're not selling it anymore.
Okay. Yeah. We get frozen ones from this wholesaler that buys them from some small producer, I think in Elan, and they are delicious.
Yes, they're fantastic.
Thankfully, we still have access to them. They're great for a quick breakfast. I think my answer to this question is not so much about economic pressures, but moving to the island.
Oh, okay.
Like the things I eat and have access to have changed so much.
What is something you eat a lot less of now that you're here?
Well, tortillas is one of those. And that might be because previously I was in university, and I feel like eating tortillas and using them to make things like quesadillas or other Mexican foods is such an American college thing because it's so easy.
It's so fast.
Right.
Yes, there is not a whole lot of Mexican food, or what do we call it? American Mexican food, Tex-Mex?
Yeah, there's a variety of different styles of it in that way. I would say I've had more of that in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. A lot of these things are much more accessible now than when I first moved here.
Right.
And part of that is also just I've learned where I can go to get those things.
Right.
But other simple things like fresh herbs, my favorite might be parsley. I really love fresh parsley, and I don't know where to get it here.
You have to grow your own.
Yeah, but then it dies, and
it
then
dies
I'm sad.
Very fast. Yeah, it dies very quickly.
The only time I ever see it is at restaurants as like a garnish.
Yes.
They'll just put a little sprig of parsley on top of something, and then I'll just eat that straight, and my in-laws will look at me like I'm a crazy person. But it's so tasty, and I miss that flavor.
Yes.
All right. Well, friends, maybe you've had some changes in your life. You've moved to a new place, or there are economic changes happening that have affected the way that you eat or the things that you choose to eat. You can think about that as we continue talking about some of the changes in the butter market as we jump right into the first reading of today's lesson.
In contrast, if you make cheese, you process the entire volume of milk,
said Tatova. Even the byproduct from cheesemaking, called whey, is in high demand from commercial food makers for flavoring and nutrition, or gym enthusiasts to bulk out the protein in their diets. European Union dairy processors have been making more and more cheese. As a result, the bloc's butter production has steadily declined and is expected to hit an 8-year low this season, according to estimates from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA. Milk production itself is also becoming more challenging. In Europe, farmers' herd sizes are shrinking due to financial pressures, and they now face added risks to their cows from blue tongue virus, said Jose Saiz, a dairy market analyst at price reporting agency Expana. Lumpy skin disease, which can curb an infected cow's milk yields, is also making its way into Italy and France.
All right, we're continuing off on an idea that we finished with in our article yesterday. Remember, we were talking about these dairy processors. Rebecca, remind us what they do.
Yes, the dairy processors, they take the milk that the farmers have milked, and they turn it into another product. And this could be butter, this could be buttermilk, this could be other products. They just turn the milk into another product, and then they sell that product.
Right. We learned that the process to get butter requires churning that milk, which changes it, and you get two things, butter and buttermilk. But buttermilk is not very useful. It's probably quite hard to sell, which creates a lot of waste and is not great for their bottom line. And so there is another thing they could do with that raw milk. They can make, what is it, Rebecca?
They can make cheese. We can make cheese with butter.
Yes. So if you make cheese, you process the entire volume of milk. There's no waste that you have to throw away or just feed to the pigs in the backyard.
Well, there is a byproduct from the cheese making, and the byproduct is something that is additional that is produced. It might not be the thing that you want, but it's produced during the process, and the byproduct is whey.
Exactly.
Right? But whey, we see in protein powders, don't we?
Like right.
We see whey protein powders.
Yeah. So protein powders are obviously something that that a lot of people really want these days.
Yes.
Bodybuilding and weightlifting is very popular. And people want a lot of protein. And there is a lot of it in whey. It is that byproduct from milk. We'd often say that when you are making cheese, you separate that milk into two things, curds and whey. You can even hear that in a popular children's nursery rhyme that we heard as kids. And so, yeah, you do have a byproduct there. You might have other byproducts when you cook other things. I love to cook a whole chicken at
yes.
home instead of little pieces because you can eat, you can just eat the meat, of course, but then I use the bones to make stock and get a soup later on. So the byproducts can be useful.
That's right.
All right. Well, whey is in high demand from commercial food makers for flavoring and nutrition. So it's not wasted. It can be sold. And it's also used by gym enthusiasts to bulk out the protein in their diets.
Yes, and here we have to bulk out. So it just means to make something bigger or sometimes thicker, make more bulky, because bulky is thick and big, right? To bulk out their protein. So whey protein powder, if you want to up the protein in your diet, you could take this whey protein powder. And an enthusiast, it's also a great word, right?
Right.
So if you're very enthusiastic about something, we use the adjective a lot more than enthusiastic. If you're very enthusiastic about something, you can be an enthusiast. So you could be a gym enthusiast. You really love going to the gym. You could be a running enthusiast. You can be a butter enthusiast.
Right. So these gym enthusiasts want to bulk out the protein in their diets. It's actually really similar to another phrase that gym enthusiasts might talk about. That's bulking up.
Yes.
That just means increasing the amount of muscle that they have.
To get bigger.
Exactly. Well, European Union dairy processors have been making more and more cheese, but that has consequences.
Well, they're making more cheese, but let's step back. The cheese and the butter come from the same thing. They all come from milk. So if we're making more cheese, that means we have to make less butter.
Exactly. So as a result, the block's butter production has steadily declined. Block there, B-L-O-C, just means a group of countries that we're talking about in a group as talking about their kind of the behaviors they have in common. It's steadily declined, and it is expected to hit an eight-year low this season. That's according to estimates from the USDA, which tracks these things. Okay, so cheese is great. Rebecca, I imagine you also enjoy it.
I love cheese, but you, at the beginning of our program today, you talked about the things you eat less of these days. I still eat a lot of cheese, mainly cheddar cheese.
Okay.
But the other more specialty cheeses or the more rare cheeses, I eat them a lot less in Asia because it's just very expensive.
It's a lot more pricey. Yeah, it takes money to ship those things over here.
That's
They're
right.
not made on the island here or in very much of Asia at all. Maybe a little bit in Japan. Okay, so milk production itself is also becoming more challenging. It's not just about those decisions for how to use the milk. In Europe, farmers' herd sizes are shrinking due to financial pressures. And what do we see next?
And they now have added risks. So they have, where's the risk coming from? They have all sorts of diseases. Here we have a new one I've never heard of called blue tongue virus. Now, I'm guessing that an animal with the blue tongue virus, maybe the tongue turns blue.
I would guess the same.
Right, that's a blue tongue virus. So one of the words in our specialized terms, and you can see that this is an infectious but non-contagious disease that affects animals, wild animals like sheep, goats, cattle, buffaloes, and deer.
Yeah, I saw online it seemed like it might come from things like insects around the cows. The good thing is that it only infects the cows. It's not that there's a risk to humans. You're not going to walk out with a blue tongue after enjoying some cheddar cheese. But, of course, it's affecting these cows, and that affects the dairy market and accessibility to milk. And in our next bit here, we can see there is another disease as well with a funny name, lumpy skin disease.
Lumpy skin disease, huh? So lumpy just means you have small, solid pieces. Actually, the last time I heard the word lump, it's sometimes use it in medicine. For example, women, we have to do breast exams to check for lumps in our breast. And a lump is just a solid, hard thing in your breast, right? So we do use the word lump. We're talking about checking for lumps in your body. But here we're talking about lumpy skin disease. So I'm just guessing on the skin, there's probably just some hard parts.
Yeah, some kind of like
hard pieces.
Sort of like bumps is a similar word. That was a great example. The thing I thought of with the word lumpy is what we talked about earlier is whey protein powder.
Okay.
So when you buy that powder, you have to mix it with liquid like water, or you could mix it with milk as well. But if you don't stir it well, you still have solid bits in there. We could say those are lumps, or it's lumpy.
Yes.
It just hasn't mixed in well. And so we have this disease that these cows are getting, and that can curb an infected cow's milk yields. What do we mean there?
Well, the milk yield is how much milk the cow produces. So a yield of something. We use that a lot in agriculture, not just for milk. We also talk about a field's yield. Like out of this cornfield, how much corn can this field produce? So here is just how much milk can this cow produce? And if the milk has lumpy skin disease, other than not looking very attractive, Maybe, I don't know, do cows know they have lumpy skin disease? They look at other cows and, you know, and they talk in their cow language. Hey, you look weird today. I don't know. But we do know that it does decrease the yield of the milk.
Right. It decreases, or we use the word here, it curbs their milk yields. That word just means it limits or controls that. You can think of the curb on the side of a street. It limits where you can drive. You can't just drive onto the sidewalk because the curb is there. All right, so these diseases are making their way into Italy and France, and that means there is less milk to go around. Well, Rebecca, before we go to our last section there, I just want to know, have you ever milked a cow?
I have never milked a cow. I have been on a farm and watched machines milk cows, but I've never milked a cow. Garrett, have you milked a cow?
I have not. My answer is actually the same as yours.
I wanted to hear a yes.
I wish my answer was yes. I don't know if I would have dared when I was a kid, but we had a lot of field trips to farms when I was young. All right, let's jump in now to the last section.
Changing tastes. Just as butter has fallen out of favor with dairy processors, consumers are developing a stronger taste for it, particularly in Asia. Global consumption of butter is expected to grow 2.7% in 2025, outpacing production, according to the USDA. In China, demand has already grown by 6% in just 1 year. Usage in India, the world's largest consumer, is up 3%. Western consumers are also eating more butter, which for years was shunned for being unhealthy, as they look to cut ultra-processed foods out of their diets. At the newly opened Mochella restaurant in London District, the brown butter and bread that was so popular at its sister eatery, Perilla, has been replaced with olive oil. Before the recent price hikes, you'd put a lot of butter into the pan to baste that piece of fish and meat, said Ben Marks, who heads up the kitchens at Perilla. Now you've just got to be much cleverer.
All right. Well, here we get into kind of the theme that we were talking about at the top of the show. It's people's tastes, or what they want to eat, is changing. And specifically around butter. It's fallen out of favor with dairy processors. What does that mean, Rebecca?
So if something's fallen out of favor, it's no longer preferred. So it's no longer popular. So the dairy processors, they don't want to make butter. If I go directly, it just means they don't want to make butter. They'd rather make cheese, because cheese makes more money for them.
Exactly.
So fall out of favor, no longer being liked. And then sometimes we say that maybe, for example, in the office, somebody has fallen out of favor with the boss. That means perhaps this person used to be close to the boss, but now the boss doesn't, like for some reasons, the boss, the staff that do not get along. So she has fallen out of favor.
Yeah, or they don't have the boss's favor. You could use that phrase with, things that were popular maybe decades ago, but now they've fallen out of favor with the public. They're not as popular. Well, butter has fallen out of favor with these processors, but consumers are developing a stronger taste for it. They want more of it, and that's particularly in Asia, where, as we've talked about a few times, traditionally butter and dairy products weren't as popular, but that's gradually starting to change now. Global consumption of butter is expected to grow 2.7% in 2025. Well, that is outpacing production, and that's according to the USDA. So what is going on between these two different relationships, Rebecca?
Well, the problem is the supply is shrinking. So the supply is getting smaller, the supply of butter. But the problem is demand. People's appetite or people wanting to buy butter has increased. So here it's really economics. We have a supply and demand problem. We have less of something that people want. So if you have less of something that people want, there's only one way to go. You have to pay higher prices.
Right. So when we use that word outpacing, we're kind of talking about rates. So there's a certain amount of butter produced every year, and there's a certain amount of butter that's desired or demanded every year. And that demand is outpacing production, or it's a higher amount. And that's, yeah, again, according to the USDA. And like Rebecca said, eventually these things kind of even out a little bit, yes. But the result is higher prices in this case. And in China, demand has already grown by 6% in just 1 year. That's a huge amount.
It's a huge jump. And we have to remember, China is a huge market. So when you have a country with such a huge population, a huge market, then 6% is a lot.
Right. And I imagine part of that, I'm sure a lot of people in the upper classes have enjoyed some butter over the years, but that middle class is growing. And so there's a lot more people that want to have access to this usage. In India, which is the world's largest consumer, the country with the most people, is up 3%. And so, again, just more and more people want that butter. And even Western consumers are eating more butter, which we hear for years was shunned for being unhealthy.
Yes. Yeah, so to shun something, like to shun a person or things, means to basically deliberately avoid it. Like if I shun a person, I avoid him or her. So butter has been shunned because people say, oh, it's high in fat. You know, it's not good for you. But now doctors are telling us there's good fats and bad fats, and butter is the good fat.
Yeah, I imagine that kind of comes from just that word fat. Yeah. We don't want to be called a fat person or someone who yes. has a lot of fat. But that's kind of different from there being fats in food. Those don't necessarily just result in you having a lot of fat on your body.
That's right. And we actually need the good fat. The good fat is needed. We really need balance. So nowadays, people in the West, they want butter too, because now, you know, the doctors, the medical professionals are telling us, you need fat. You need the good fat. And now people want to cut out the ultra-processed foods out of their diets. So ultra-processed, Garrett, like ultra-processed foods. These are just foods that go through a lot of processing, right?
Yeah. This has been a huge conversation, at least in the U.S. and probably other places, over the last couple of years. Of course, processed foods, like you said, are foods that just go through a lot of different processes before they get to the final form. And so they look completely different from anything that was on the farm originally.
Right. This is like, for example, when you walk into a supermarket, the frozen food section, right? Or the canned food section. A lot of those are processed foods.
Yeah, to some extent. I would say some of the canned foods are probably not as processed right. as like the frozen things.
Right. Like the frozen pasta we're eating or the frozen pork chop rice. That's been processed.
Yeah. Now, I've always been someone who says we can't just look at a word like GMOs or just a product that has some ingredients that we don't know how to pronounce and just say that they're bad. There's complexity in those things.
Yes.
But it would probably be good if we all had a few more of these natural, simple things.
I agree.
Everything in balance, of course. All right. At the newly opened Morcella restaurant in London District, the brown butter and bread that was so popular at its sister eatery, Perilla, has been replaced with olive oil. That's interesting. So they aren't producing something with butter, maybe because of some of these effects we've talked about.
Yes. And then we have another example. And then this is then in our next paragraph at another restaurant, Perilla, that's the sister restaurant. And then they would use a lot of butter to fry fish and meat. But now they have to think of dishes that don't use up so much butter.
Exactly.
Because butter is so expensive.
Yeah. And when you're frying things or cooking things, you do often need an oil or a fat. Butter provides a lot of great flavor for that.
Yes.
But other things work just fine. Something like olive oil or other simple oils, avocado oil, even peanut oil, all work just fine they'll just taste a little different. The result will be different. And we do have an interesting word in that quote. It's the word to baste something like fish or meat. I remember, Rebecca, before, I think it was yesterday, you mentioned using butter to cook steak.
Yes.
Well, really what you're doing there is basting.
Yes.
All right. So when you baste something, essentially, you have some liquid or a fat on the side of whatever you're cooking, and you use something like a spoon or some other tool to kind of move that fat or liquid onto the top of the meat. And it provides a lot of great flavor on top of there. You can also do this when you're cooking a chicken or a turkey in the oven. Basting is a big part of preparing like a Thanksgiving meal.
Mm.
All right. Well, friends, thank you so much for joining us today. If there are some changes in prices in those things you love to use, maybe try and be a little more clever. Find some other ways to cook them. Well, that's all for today. My name is Garrett.
My name is Rebecca.
We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.